Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Running Scared?
I'd have loved this in the 80s.
That's fair. That's fair. Welcome to You Want Me to Watch What, where Chad and I give movie suggestions to the other one that they may not have seen and might have slipped under their radar. We've seen a lot of movies over the years, and, well, we're trying to play catch-up. This month's selection is the 1986 buddy cop comedy, drama, whatever you want to call it, Running Scared, starring Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines, and in an early role, Jimmy Smits.
And don't forget about Joe Pantoliano.
And Joe Pantoliano, yes. So, getting right into it, Ray and Danny are two police officers working on Chicago's South Side. They are the buddy cops. They're wisecracking, unorthodox in their procedure, but they get the job done. They're trying to bust up an up-and-coming drug dealer named Julio Gonzalez. They arrest one of his informants named Snake.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using the word in air quotes, convince him to wear a wire to help them bust Julio. Well, the tables turn. Julio finds out about it. They show up to the drop site, realize Julio has bought a bunch of Uzis, and they just about get their butts killed when two deep undercover guys show up and kind of bail them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They manage to arrest Julio in all the confusing... action that ensues, but Captain is none too happy with them and orders them to go on vacation. And so they do, down in Key West, Florida. While they're having the time of their lives, they are rediscovering what it's like to not be a cop. And they decide they're going to buy a bar, because that's what cops do when they retire. They buy a bar. And so we get this wonderful montage of them meeting with different women, learning how to roller skate, going fishing, the whole nine yards. They go back to Chicago in roller skates to tell the captain, hey, we're going to retire, blah, blah, blah. And he says, hey, that's great. Then you, since you're leaving us, you don't care that Julio Gonzalez is out on bail. Well, now they suddenly care again, and they're going to nab him before their month is up. They got 30 days. So they they get partnered up with the undercover guys to teach them the ropes. And they go on this massive spree of annoying Julio and doing various things to get under his goat. They eventually manage to capture a large stash of cocaine that he was trying to smuggle in. Very large stash. Well, Julio catches wind of this, demands his cocaine back, and in the process kidnaps Ray's ex-wife, Anna, who he is still in love with, and she's still in love with him, but doesn't want to admit it.
Well, to be she's marrying a dentist.
She's marrying a dentist. So the final showdown happens in a Chicago high-rise building, because someplace public, in the atrium of this building. There's elevators involved, window cleaning gear, big shootout. At the end, Ray and Danny kill Julio. They get Anna back. And they decide, you know what? We still want to be cops. Credits.
Credits.
There's really not a lot to this movie's plot, and I admit it is kind of disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very loose flowing. So give me your thoughts on this.
So this is one of those movies where as I'm watching, I'm like, I've got my cop sister and my and my law enforcement, you know, friend, you know, best friend from high school, you know, kind of in the back of my head watching this with me. They're not in the room, but they're watching it with me.
Yes, right? They're there in spirit.
And I'm like, you don't shoot at moving cars. Who shoots at moving cars? Yeah, you don't shoot at moving cars, says the voice in one ear. We're not even allowed to shoot at moving cars, says the voice in the other ear.
But to be fair, they weren't cops in the 80s.
Well, and that's kind of what's going on here. It's like in the 80s, this would have been a grand good time. In today's political environment, this is a troublesome movie.
It is, yes. It is.
I'm not going to throw out lightly words like abuse of power or...
No.
Or such things. But there's definitely a little bit of those kind of moments and movements. 80s were a different time.
The 80s were a different time, yes. It's a wonder we turned out so well adjusted as we did.
It's truth. This movie works only because Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal work so well off of one another.
Oh my God, yes.
The two of them and their ability to speak quickly, clearly, and with great wit and confidence in that wit is what saves this movie. It's what makes it not just watchable, but kind of fun to watch. Because let's face it, a half hour in, you know what the movie's about.
Yeah.
You know, and a half hour in, it's like, I'm pretty sure I could write the rest of this and not be surprised. That's fine. Tropes are tropes for a reason. They work.
Yeah.
But having Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal being able to bounce off of each other with so much confident energy makes their relationship in the movie a joy to watch.
I couldn't agree more.
We don't have that fallout of best friends bit in this. This is just...
Nope.
They got each other's backs. They know, you know, they're not necessarily agreeing on everything, but they're also not agreeing jovially.
Yes.
Jimmy Smits does, honestly, a pretty decent job as the gangster here, as Julio Gonzalez. 1980s over the top, you know, like I don't think he would have fit into Die Hard, but he could have fit into Die Hard 2 pretty well.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, like that kind of over the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure I've seen this guy doing other roles, but Dan Hedaya, he was the one who played the captain. Has he only ever played cops? Because I see, like,
he was the lawyer in Adam's Family, Tully.
Okay, because whenever I see him on screen, anything from the mid-80s on, it always seems like I'm seeing him in that kind of cop or editor-in-chief kind of role where he's, you know, got the tough guy suit on kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
he works well as a character who wears a suit, but
yeah. Oh, he was in Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Really?
Yeah, he was John Gomez.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know how I didn't recognize him as Tully from the Addams Family. Just time, I guess. Well, Rookie of the Year, Usual Suspects. That's why. Because he was the sergeant in The Usual Suspects. And it's like, okay, so that's a movie I've seen way more than I'm comfortable saying out loud in public.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know, we all have our things.
Yeah.
But the plot, as you say, is kind of predictable. You know, they're running guns. They're also running cocaine. And you got to stop him. He's the bad gangster for these two. Are there other bad gangsters in Chicago? Sure. But for these two, this is the bad gangster. There's a bit of that streetwise messing around that you see in movies like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
You know, where they're messing with the two undercover guys.
Uh-huh.
You know, trying to show his... Okay, I see. Ray and Danny are not great cops.
No.
But they're good cops.
Yes.
You know? And so that when they're messing around, it's like, okay, I kind of see what's going on there. You know, a little bit of the hazing, a little bit of the razzing. You know, these guys are going to take your jobs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked the action bits. I think it made sense that there wasn't a lot of fisticuffs in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither one of those actors, none of them, are really fisticuffs kind of actors.
No.
You know, you get the one punch, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
The one sucker punch.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing to complain about outside of, you know, they use those guns a lot.
Yeah.
And they're using it in a city a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're using it in questionable circumstances a lot.
There, by today's standards, there are some practices with firearm safety that are questionable at best.
They would get you fired at best.
Yes. 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 At best, they would get you fired.
At worst, they'd get you prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
But... that all being said, yeah, it's a funny movie.
It is. I mean, it's not a great movie.
No, this is a laundry movie.
It is. It did. I don't think it did well at the box office.
Oh, probably
there's
not.
There's not too many people who, you know, it's got a very low rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, as we all know, is the end all be all for whatever. But it's not a horrible movie. It's a laundry movie. You know. come for Billy Crystal being Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it made its money back.
Yeah.
And then some. I mean, it was a moderate success. It wasn't... There's a reason that it's not being shown on cable all the time.
Yes.
Because it's... Actually... I take that back. This is a movie that should be shown on cable quite a bit. Because this is the kind of movie that would suit itself well to cable. You don't have a huge amount of language stuff.
That's true.
You know, the violence is all, it's almost cartoonish by today's standards.
Yeah.
You know, where the wide stance, you know, squared off against the car, shooting 12 shots out of your 5-shot 38, you know?
Yeah.
At 70 meters with a snub-nosed revolver. It's cartoonishly laughable.
Yes.
There
is very little you would have to edit out to air it on cable.
I don't know that you'd have to edit anything out except for maybe a little bit of nudity at that one scene.
A little bit of tasteful nudity, I might add. It's, you know.
They do it well.
They do it well, yeah.
And maybe a little bit of the blood on... you know, Jimmy Smith's at the very end, but even that's pretty tame by today's standards.
Oh, absolutely.
This is something that I'm surprised that I'm not seeing airing on USA or TNT every time I go to visit my in-laws.
Maybe that's where I first saw it.
I'd be surprised. Like I said, this is the kind of movie.
No, I think I first saw it back in the 90s.
Okay.
So...
I would say this is absolutely a movie that if you see it on cable, watch it. Like,
yes.
Turn it on for that and watch it. You get up during your commercials, you know, to get the laundry basket. And by the time you're done, you're sitting back down and you're folding laundry while it's going on. And it'll keep you entertained for that.
Yeah. It's on Tubi, which is a free service, and it's got ads. So you have plenty of time to get up and go to the bathroom and fold, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Swap out the laundry. I wish that Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines had done more stuff together. Not necessarily sequels to this movie.
Right.
But other projects together, because they did work so well.
Yeah, I read a couple of interviews, and the amount Billy Crystal does a lot of ad-lib, and he talks about, you know, he ad-libs a lot during rehearsal, and then he occasionally will ad-lib during shooting, which is really risky. And he said if it weren't for Gregory Hines able to be able to kind of catch him and keep moving, you can't do that kind of stuff, but it can make some of that comedy really fresh and really surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Which helps. And at Billy Crystal's knack for speaking quickly and having the jokes going so fast, it's kind of like early Robin Williams, you know, where the talking is so fast that it's like, how many of you are on coke while you're doing this movie about busting a coke dealer? I doubt many of you, but I'm kind of curious now.
Yes.
But, decent special effects. You know, couple of really good chase scenes. I mean, it's Chicago, so, I mean, you get some of the stuff there. A really weird chase scene on the L.
The L?
That... if you've ever seen See No Evil, Hear No Evil, you know, with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, there's a car chase scene in that movie, too, where the blind guy is driving and the deaf guy is giving him directions.
Yeah.
This reminded me of that, where there's just so much going on the screen at the same time. I had to rewind part of it to watch it again. To catch what's being said, to see what's flying by, and just do it. I'm shrugging my shoulders for those of you who I'm not shrugging close enough to the mic for you to be able to see it, but
oh, it's audible. It's an audible shrug.
Audible shrug. I want to recommend it with reservations.
And that's fair. That is absolutely fair.
Like it, because it's not surprising, because it's comfortable. This is the late 80s pop music of movies.
Yeah. You know what you're going to get within the first few
First few bars and beats. You know what you're in for, and you're either there for it or you're not.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change between the beginning and the end.
No.
It's not late 80s Prince.
Yeah.
This is late 80s somebody else. This is late 80s George Jones.
Yeah. This isn't Bohemian Rhapsody, where it takes you through multiple highs and lows and styles and genres. And no, this is, you start here, you end here, and everything between is... pretty much the same.
This is the Run DMC. This is the Walk This Way of. It's a good song. You dance to it. You're far more likely to see, you know, somebody figure skate to it. But it's good.
So it's like late 80s, early 90s country music. You know, it's your George Straits. It's your Randy Travis. It's
steady. It's not surprising. It's quality, but in that predictable and boring if you do it too often kind of way.
Yeah. It's not everybody's cup of tea.
But for those who like this tea.
It's okay tea. It's okay. Good tea.
So I guess that means, go ahead and see it.
Yeah.
And you'll know in the first 10 minutes whether you're going to keep seeing it.
Within the first 10 minutes, you're going to know if you like this tea or not.
That's right. And then come let us know on the Discord and you can spill it.
Yes, I like that. I like that. Good. Nice.
Thumbs up. Audible thumbs up.
Audible thumbs up. Well, that's all I have to say about it. To see it from you, see it from me, with some reservations, clearly. I guess that means it's your turn.
I got an idea.
All right.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.